What is going on? Welcome back to Stacking Slabs. This is your hobby content alternative. I'm your host, Brett McGrath, by the way. We're coming at you with more content. Your feed is getting flooded by SSP. This one we'll call Card Shop Talk. I got my man Jameson at Port City Sports Collectibles on the program. We're going to, on a monthly basis, bring him on to talk about the ins and outs of what is going on from a hobby shop owner perspective. He's been on the show to talk about just his collecting in the past, but he's got an amazing store out in North Carolina, Port City Sports Collectibles, that he's been running going into year two of that. So I thought it would be cool to dig into the ins and outs of what's going on behind the scenes. I really enjoyed this conversation, giving you an opportunity to learn a little bit more about the hobby shop, which I think is one of the most critical pieces in our hobby as all the change happens and as we continue to expand. You'll hear at the beginning of this, the morning after when we recorded this, was the news of Collector's acquisition of SGC. So we got to hit on that topic and then we dove right in. If you like what I'm doing over here, and you want more, follow, subscribe, do all those things, tell the damn friend, do those things, but sign up for that Patreon group, would you? Sign up, join, we're doing more content than ever, and support Port City Sports Collectibles and what Jameson and his team are doing. All right, enough with the plugs, let's kick it over to the conversation. What's up, everyone? I'm excited to share another new episode series we're going to be doing here. This will pop on your feed once a month. Feel like it's a good time to get some perspective from the owner of a hobby shop. I feel like as the hobby goes through changes, one of these changes happened last night that we're going to talk about. The hobby shop is always just a good central point for education, obviously get cards, community. So we're going to be, I don't know, we haven't really coined it yet, but maybe a hobby shop talk. We're going to do something, brand it something. But without further ado, I'm joined by Jameson at Port City Sports Collectibles. Jameson, welcome to this new thing we're doing. How are you? Excited to get this off the ground?
Good morning, Brett. Hey, man, I'm super excited. You know, as we've been talking over the last few weeks and we were discussing opportunities to partner and kind of your new direction and kind of what's been a new direction for me over the past year or so, you know, for us to get on and chat once a month and talk about what I'm seeing from my end of the spectrum and kind of what's going on in the hobby and, you know, talk to you and use you as a sounding board because you do have so many kind of oars in the fire of all the people you talk to. I just thought it'd be a perfect partnership for us to kind of marry up and see where this thing takes us.
The one thing that I reflect on just our conversations, as you alluded to, the fun part about just this new world of the hobby and people going off and kind of doing their own thing, the most fun I've had, and I don't know if you feel the same way, but it's just been like this opportunity to just like connect with other people who share in a similar passion, but might operate in a different space and just like have conversations and identify like how we can collaborate and how we can do things that are not only going to, you know, benefit what we're trying to build, but then ultimately like benefit the audiences that we're trying to reach.
For sure, man. I mean, there's so many different just sections of the hobby and ways to connect people. There's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad. So when you're able to partner with people you have like passions with and kind of see, I think, the industry and the hobby and whatever you want to call this space, I think it's a little bit of all that. That have similar kind of viewpoints and similar kind of passions as you do, I think you take advantage of those opportunities and try to see what you can come up with.
Yeah, it's interesting because as you described, like it is a hobby for a lot of people, but it's also like businesses. It's like a business industry side for people like you, and then you're also like both. It's like a hobby and a business.
Sure.
I think I woke up and looked at my phone last night and pulled up Instagram like I do in my regular routine and just saw like all these posts, and like the big news that hit was Collectors buying SGC, going through the acquisition of SGC, which is a big news in the hobby hemisphere. And before we hit record, we started talking about it a little bit. But I'd love just like from your perspective as we kick things off, just like as a collector and a hobby shop owner, like what when that news washed over you, like how did you think about it?
Well, first of all, I think I told you when we got on, I don't think this is something new that just, I don't think PSA or collectors called SGC yesterday and said, hey, are you for sale? Because I had actually heard rumblings of this probably over a year ago. Companies call other companies all the time, I think, and put feelers out of what they're receptive to. So I think this is probably some dialogue that's been going on for a while. I think from PSA's point of view, it probably makes a lot of sense. I think SGC, though not close to the kind of volume PSA sees, they definitely have been making inroads with collectors over the last few years. I mean, they have definitely solidified themselves as number two in the marketplace. And probably 3 years ago, if someone would have said that, you'd have been like, no way. So, you know, they kind of, PSA brings in kind of their next closest competitor, would you say, in-house? Or, you know, I guess we'll have to flesh out and see exactly what this merger or partnership or acquisition, I should say, looks like. Will SGC, right now, it looks like people are saying SGC is still going to stand alone as a separate company. But as they say in the wrestling business, plans change, brother. so we'll see what happens from there. But I hope kind of it stays that way. I think it is nice. I think both companies bring some unique benefits. I mean, obviously, SGC with their turnaround time and their fair competitive pricing has been a huge, I think, kind of alternative for collectors that maybe don't want to deal with the wait times of PSA or some of the pricing structure that's involved there. But at the same time, PSA definitely holds a premium in the marketplace when you do come in with those high grades. So we'll have to see how that all merges together over time. We'll have to say it's TBD of what I think about it right now. I think we'll just have to wait and see kind of how everything fleshes out and kind of at the end of the day when all the dust settles, kind of what we get from this acquisition.
By the time this episode goes live this week, we will have just like a scroll of speculation from our hobby. And sure. Every time I open up my phone, there's some new takes on it, which is what we do. But yeah. Definitely some big news and wanted to hit the ground running. One of the things that I wanted to hit just for people who might not know you, who are listeners, getting into like you being a hobby shop owner. One of the things that I've always like appreciated about you from our earliest conversations was like your decision to like hang up your corporate job and like go all in on the hobby. So for anyone who's maybe doesn't know you or learning about kind of your story for the first time, I'd love for you to maybe like talk us through that like decision point and like what has happened since to lead you to being the owner of Port City Sports Collectibles.
Yeah, sure. So longtime collector. I mean, my first job in high school was working in a sports card store. So just this new foray into sports cards is nothing new. It's something I've been around pretty much my whole life. But yeah, I had a really good job. I mean, a great job. One that most people would not leave. And I worked for the company for 15 years and they took really good care of me. But I had a calling, somewhat spiritual calling, but I just felt like I was being tugged to do something different. I didn't know what it was at the time. I know now what was going on, but you know, I was just traveling a lot. I was missing my kids grow up. I was just felt like there had to be more to this life than jumping on a plane every week, going to a meeting, coming back home, rinse, lather, repeat, and do it all again the next week. So while it was great, financially things were great. You know, the American dream from the outside, miserable on the inside. Not because the company wasn't great, just I felt very just unfulfilled with my life. And so started talking to my wife and I was like, you know, I think I could do something with sports cards. This was before the COVID boom and all that stuff. You know, I said, yeah, I came from a history of sales. You know, it's you know, sports cards and doing this thing is pretty much, there's a lot of basic buy, sell, market intricacies to this whole thing. I think I can make a career just doing sports cards and just open up a lot more freedom in our life to kind of just be around and be present more and actually be like a part of my kid's life and all that stuff. And so she's like, well, I trust you. You know, if you think you can do it, do it. So she had a lot of faith in me, thankfully, you know, and so yeah, I left the company after like 15 years and originally just started off just kind of more in the high-end sector. I do have a kind of another account online that I go by, which is Exquisite Sports Collectibles. Some of you guys may know me from that, which was really my focus at first, which is really like high-end buy-selling, brokering, you know, probably 5 and 6 figure type cards, which was my passion back then. I really liked that big game hunting aspect of finding really rare items and stuff like that. So that was kind of my initial launch into kind of doing this as a career, full time. Then, you know, about 6 months in, COVID hit. I said, oh my gosh, what did I do? I'm a moron. Who's going to want to buy sports cars? The world is ending. And I just left a job that I would have been financially secure for the rest of my life and never worried about being fired ever. And so, you know, it was a dicey first week, couple weeks. And then like, who would have thought, like, I mean, it just, sports cars went to another stratosphere. So that was a really fun ride. And in that time, I should also say, we were living up north in New England, kind of about 30 minutes outside of Boston. But when I left the company, I really didn't have any need to be up there. So we transitioned down to North Carolina, which is where we live now, Wilmington, North Carolina. That's where the shop is. It's called the Port City. That's why it's called Port City Sports Collectibles, because we're right on the coast. And so in the time COVID happened, I thought about opening a shop when we got here. But then, like I said, the COVID whole scenario happened. It was like probably not the best time to open a shop. So anyway, online business was great. I mean, really, you didn't have to be very smart to make money in this hobby at that time. You literally bought anything and held it for any time and it went up and it was just stupid. So anyway, went through that whole kind of ride, great ride. But then as things kind of started kind of coming back to normal and everyday life, you know, being home for a few years was great, but I kind of got the itch that, hey, you know, I think I want to do a little bit more. I'd like to open up kind of a brick and mortar location. And that's when we set out about a year ago. We've been open about a year now. And that was to build and create Port City Sports Collectibles, to continue to do the online aspect, but also have an opportunity to grow the collecting space and hobby within the greater Wilmington, North Carolina area. I didn't feel like there was really anybody crushing it from that perspective. I felt like there was more to offer, that we could really kind of enhance and grow the collecting community, especially around sports and sports cards. So I saw an opportunity. And so that's why we kind of opened the doors.
You mentioned something during your era of big game hunting and just talking about, you know, the brokering, which and getting buying cards that are unique. And I would imagine like the way you were approaching that scenario is like probably really like a big part of it was, you know, building and developing the right relationships to make that happen. And then, so you've got like this end of the spectrum, which is like the high end, and then you, which is online digital for the most part.
Right.
And then now you've opened up this store, which is like probably a lot lower end, yeah. But it's in person, it's community. But I would imagine like relationships are just as important, maybe even more important in that space than they are in the kind of big game online world. Maybe like talk about those two worlds and how you've navigated the two and just like the importance of relationships.
Yeah. I mean, definitely in both worlds, the relationships, the connections are important, probably for different reasons, though. I mean, and, you know, when you're doing the higher end stuff, you know, you want people to trust you and to bring you items, you know, because you want to have that first opportunity. So you build that through kind of probably being fair to deal with, right? If every time someone brings you something and you haggle with them about the last little bit of it, people just get tired of dealing with you. So you got to be willing to pay fair, you got to pay quick, and you got to have trust of those people that when they bring you, you're going to be fair to do business with. So that was a big part of it. So, you know, I did have a lot of relationships from the years of just being around the hobby and being in that kind of sector. So that really helped me when I kind of decided to launch in, is just having those relationships, having people willing to maybe bring me cards before they would go to the open market with it, knowing that, hey, I may be leaving a little bit on the table, but I know if I go to Jameson, he's going to pay me fair market value, but I have to leave a little bit on the bones for him to do something, but there's going to be no hassle. I'm going to get paid right away, da 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 da, and then I can just get my money and move on to the next one. So that definitely paid huge role, huge benefit in that aspect. And just, you know, continuing to build those relationships over time and solidifying those was a huge aspect of that. And, you know, when we kind of shifted over to the brick and mortar, you're definitely right. It's definitely a different price point. So I had to really change my thinking about the inventory I was going after, what most people can afford to walk in off the street and buy and what's in their daily budget. Because here we're dealing a lot more families, kids, you know, much kind of lower entry level price point, but the relationships are as important or more, because, you know, more than anything, we're trying to build a community here. And we want people to feel good about their kids coming in here to do business with us. We want them to feel welcome. We want them to feel welcome that they can come in here, even if they're not buying anything, and just hang out and talk and look and be part of it. And they don't have any obligation to buy something while they're here. We wanted it to be somewhere where it wasn't just this hodgepodge of stuff just stacked on top of each other, messy old kind of, maybe the old kind of card shop wrap that, you know, dingy and stuff. We want it to be like, if a mom has to bring their kid up here, we want them to feel comfortable here, where they feel comfortable, they can hang out and the kid can look. Or a dad that's not even a collector, but he wants to come up here just because it's a cool place to hang out. And so we really just really value community and personal relationship and knowing our customers and just want them to want to be here. And so really it's just, I would say it's nothing that I created or learned. I really just skimmed off, you know, I'm lucky to have a lot of guys that have been doing this a lot longer than me, you know, so guys like Ryan at RBI Crew, guys like Ryan at Card Collector too. You know, I look at like Rob out at Burbank, you know, and just take a, just look what they do so well, you know, and there's a ton of other guys I know, you know, that have card shops that Lawrence out at Triple Play in Texas that I just gleaned off of as I was getting open and just trying to take best practices that they have and maybe using my personality, because we're all going to take same ideas and put our own little spin on it because all of our personalities are different. But I try to kind of incorporate things that they do really well, not try to invent the wheel, but how can I incorporate that into what we're trying to do here?
This is what I'm super fascinated by, the fact that you have a store that services a community that is local to you, but you're also doing a podcast here, you're on Instagram, and so there's this digital side too. So yeah. Like, how do you think about bringing those two worlds together where I'm Jameson, the owner of Port City Sports Collectibles, people are gonna come in the door and I'm going to talk to them, we're gonna have conversations, they're gonna buy product, but then there's this whole other world out here where I just pick up my phone and I want to make sure this brand reaches those people too. Like, how do you think about those two worlds? And then like, what are you offering kind of to kind of bridge that gap?
Well, I mean, one thing is I try to be on a lot of like videos myself, like when I'm shooting on Instagram, because even like I've met people at card shows that like we've never really met in person, but they already know who I am because they've seen me on some type of platform, whether it's like your show or Josh's show or on my Instagram, or we do stuff on TikTok, you know, whatever the platform is, it does create some connection there, right? So it, they already kind of feel like they know me. And that's important. I mean, you know, I think one of the important roles is like a card shop, because, you know, the card industry sometimes can get a rap of like, oh, it's basically just like a casino, you know, like people are going in, paying all this money, trying to hit all these big cards, which there is some of that element to it. But I think that's where the importance of the local card shop is it makes it so much more than that. If it really ties everything together, because at the end of the day, like most humans are looking for connection, not all, you know, some guys are perfectly happy ordering their boxes off of a big box online retailer, getting them in, opening them in private, putting their cards in their box, and they're happy with that. I mean, but I think a lot of us are seeking connection, are seeking things that combine us. I mean, like me and you, we rap for like 30 minutes before we even got started, just nerding out on wrestling. You know what I mean? And we probably could have gone for another hour, but that's just like the connection we seek, is we like being with people like us. And sometimes we can have 100 different things that aren't in common, but all it takes is one thing in common. And that could be cards, that could be sports, that could be wrestling, that could be whatever it is. And when you walk into the walls of a card shop, like everything you don't have in common goes out the window, and everything you do, that one thing you do have in common is what binds us all. And so it's such a beautiful thing when you see, I mean, the biggest enjoyment I get now is not like getting a big card in, or like, I do enjoy getting grails and stuff I've been looking for, but like one of my favorite things is like when a dad and a son come in together and they're able to like, just, they may not have a ton in common, but this is what they have in common. And they sit at the high top and they rip boxes together and they have a great time. And you know, they could open a $200 box and the kid could be more happy about pulling a $20 card of their favorite player than some of us get about getting like a $500 autograph. And just seeing that like pure enjoyment of that type of aspect is like one of the biggest thrills that's been in the shop for me.
So maybe you have done this for a year as owning a hobby shop. You're kind of entering year two. Maybe talk about where you're prioritizing your time. Like, how has that shifted? Like, what are the areas that you are focusing on, whether it's in store or online?
Yeah. So I would say there's two aspects. One thing that we're never going to slack off is connection and wanting everyone to feel welcome that comes into the shop. You know, and when I put myself out there like that, it's kind of the gift and the curse is I put myself out there for people. So there are a lot of people that when they come in the shop, like they're looking for me. So it is that it does kind of anchor me to the shop, but I do also want to be like, I never want to be that shop where we're like, well, yeah, that's Jameson's shop, but Jameson's never there. You know, so there is some kind of connectivity. So I always try to make sure, even if I'm in the back doing stuff and I have a little video monitor in my office. If I know like, you know, people are here, I always try to go out when they come in and at least say hello to everyone. So they know I'm here. If they need anything, I'm in the back. You know, sometimes I do have to actually like do like owner work stuff, which is not fun.
Work on the business.
Accounting, you know, marketing, you know, decide like buy stuff. So we actually have stuff to sell. So I do have to like bury myself because I could literally stay out there all day. So that stuff, I always have to work out. And then we're really working right now on our breaking side of the business. We've really kind of launched that like 2 months ago and it's gone really well. We do a lot of breaking. I didn't think I'd be there, but a good buddy of mine said, you need to get on here. We've done a ton on TikTok and it's really taken off for us on that platform. So we're on there under Port City Sports Collectibles and we go live probably 3 days a week, I would say. And break. And it's been a very successful parade for us onto there. We look to just grow it. I mean, really the biggest aspect for me is probably to a fault sometimes is I'm very, because I covet the customer experience so much in the store, I'm very, very kind of probably conservative about like the amount of people I'll add as far as from staffing is like, I want there to be a certain vibe when it comes into the store. So, and trust. So vibe and trust. So I got to trust. And there's definitely a vibe. I definitely want high energy. I want people to like, you never know if that's that first and only time that customer is going to come in the store. So I want them, I can't risk it being a bad experience. I want them to feel welcome and feel the energy when they come in the store. And the same when we're online, you know, I want, if a customer is popping into our feed on TikTok, like I want them to feel like, oh, this is a cool room to hang out in. Like, I want to be here rather than there. And so I'm very kind of selective, which has probably limited our growth somewhat, but I would rather have a healthy organic growth than just slap a bunch of people in a bunch of positions that I don't feel comfortable with. And maybe we excel real quick, but ultimately I've seen too many bad hiring decisions hamper businesses. I'd rather grow slow and organic then just kind of go gangbusters and kind of just, and then not be able to reel it back in or things get out of control.
I think breaking, and it's a topic like we haven't really talked about too much on here, is super fascinating. And I just think about my own experience with breaking where it's, I think we all have our own perception of like what we think of breaks or our own experience in breaks. And I will say like, the reason I have bought into breaks in the past has always been because I know the person personally breaking the product.
Sure.
And so it's more like I'm going to show my support for them and their business. And I hope I hit a card along the way. But obviously, like I understand the dynamics of what breaking is. So my expectation isn't to like, you know, hit a one of one every break I get into. But it's been more of like it's entertainment. And it's like I'm supporting those individuals. I'm curious, like, as you're getting into breaking, there's, you mentioned TikTok, like part of my, like what I do when I'm turning my brain off for a minute, I'll just scroll TikTok. And it's like every like five scrolls, it seems like I get hit with a new live of someone breaking. So I know that's, there's a presence there, but I'm curious like how you think about breaking and just being the person behind it and anything you're kind of thinking about just in terms of differentiation, because I know it's a pretty crowded space.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, you know, when I kind of, we were on another platform and looking at another platform, and we were on one of them and we were doing okay. But I talked to a buddy of mine who owns a shop. You know, he opened probably a little bit before we did, and he was on several platforms. And I just picking his brain one day, I said, "So out of all these platforms, like, which one do you like the best?" And he was like, "Are you on TikTok?" I'm like, "I don't even have a TikTok account." You know, this was like 3 months ago. And he's like, "You need to get on there right now." And I was like, "All right." He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "You know, we do, you know," he's on all the big ones, all the other big ones. I'm not going to say his name to protect the protective profile, so no one, the other ones get mad at him. He's like, "This is by far the best one. It's the easiest to get new customers onboarded." And he was just telling me, like, I think they went live on Black Friday and they did like just case after case after case after case after case. And these were cases like they couldn't even fill one on one of the other platforms. And so we jumped on and we met similar success. And so the thing I like about the TikTok is, like you said, is like you could not even go on there for breaking. You might just be going on there for a refresh your brain. So you're not even going on to break, but all of a sudden you're dropped into a room where I think some of the other platforms is it's much more intentional. Like if I'm going on, let's say a Whatnot or a Fanatics Live, I'll just use those two as an example. Like I'm pretty much going on there to break. Like there's no other aspect of Whatnot that I need to get on to. You know, there's no social feature of Whatnot outside of going on to buy into a break or Fanatics Live. So I think you do get more happenstance drop in because we have people, a lot of people that broke with us. It's the first time they've ever break, or they'll come in the room and it's like, "Hey, what is this? What is?" So we're like explaining to them and like, "Oh, it's pretty cool." And they end up buying into a break of their favorite team or whatever. So we get a lot of new buyers. So that's been pretty cool. And then we've built up kind of, they've become just part of our, it's become very similar to our physical showroom. It's become our digital showroom where we have a lot of people that buy into all our breaks. We have like a usual customer base. And some of them now, they even stop in, even if they're not buying into that break, just to sit in the room and chat and say hello. So that's been kind of cool. I think breaking definitely, you know, there's goods and bads that come with breaking. I mean, it definitely elevates probably the cost of product because it allows, you know, kind of this fractional aspect of buying the product where, you know, would a box of Prism be, how many people would actually pay $1,000 for a box of Prism and break it personally if it wasn't for the breakers being able to offer these platforms and these fractionalized breaks to support that product, you know? So, but at the same time, it does also offer the guy who maybe is a Indianapolis Colts fan, you know, that wants a shot at Anthony Richardson, our rookie card, that doesn't want to buy a box of Prism, but for the same price of buying a box of Prism, he can buy into a whole case. So now they have 12 opportunities at boxes of Anthony Richardson's rather than one. So, I mean, it's just like almost any argument in the hobby space. You can look at there's going to be positives and negatives on both sides. It's a part of our hobby now. It's not going away. So people can complain about it all they want, or they can learn to adapt. You know what I mean? It's just like grading. You can be a part of it or you don't have to be. You can learn to adapt. So it's just like anything. If you don't like it, don't be a part of it. If you do like it, great. It's there for you. So
you said 3 days a week. When are you hosting your breaks?
Typically, we're like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Every once in a while, we'll jump on the weekends. But typically, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and we pretty much go live. Well, we usually get on around 11 Eastern, and we'll usually run till about, we close 5 or 6 p.m. Yeah, we usually do mostly daytime. I will, for some reason, like that last break, we logged on and we get partially full. I may jump on later that day and kind of try to finish it out from my house that night or something. But a lot of times, we try to break within store hours at the store.
So. You're not supposed to bring work back home with you, Jameson.
Yeah, I know. Don't tell my wife. Luckily, she goes to bed really early, so like 8 o'clock. So
I know when we were talking about doing this, you mentioned that in between us doing it, us talking and us recording here, that there was going to be a hobby rip night at your store. Yeah. Talk a little bit about that and that experience.
Man, it was fantastic. I mean, you know, and not to be a pun on words, I will say, you know, Fanatics, people give them a hard time for this and that. Man, when it comes to marketing and promotion, they are second to none. I mean, it'd be great to get into some of the smaller markets like North Carolina. But I mean, when you look at a shop in Phoenix, they had Kevin Durant, Odell Beckham, and Joe Burrow at their shop. You know, Tom Brady was at one in New York. Ronald Acuna was at one in Florida. So just the excitement that they're drumming up off this. I mean, I think that's for, you know, Panini, all the companies are gonna have good and bad, but I think one of the things that we're gonna see over the next few years, especially when Fanatics probably gets a hold of all the licensing, is their connection to the athlete is just, I think, on another level than probably what Panini had, whether it's because of Michael Rubin or whoever. But I mean, you just see these, the presence of these, and it's not like, you know, it's not like they're bringing in the utility guy off the Philadelphia Phillies. I mean, they're bringing Tom Brady, they're bringing Kevin Durant, they're bringing Ronald. I mean, you're talking about the apex athletes of some of these sports are regularly involved in these hobby nights and these promotions that they're doing. So it's really cool. I mean, our event started at 4 o'clock. It was 4 to 7. And we were still kind of getting set up. And I looked down at my watch based on the how many people we had in the shop. I was like, man, time must have gotten away from me. This must be like 4:30. It was like 3:45 and the shop was already full of people. Like there was points in the night where like you couldn't hardly even move within our shop. We had so much. And the beautiful thing was, it literally was collectors of every age. It was kids. It was adults. It was boys. We had female collectors. I mean, it was just a beautiful representation of what the hobby, it was moms, it was dad. There was people buying blasters. There were people buying hobby boxes. There were people buying singles. It was just a beautiful representation of what the hobby can be and is when it's operating correctly on all cylinders. So it was just very heartwarming to see that one, people trusted us because we weren't the only shop doing it in town, that people trusted us to come to our store to be a part of it. Two, and part of the community that I think we've been just kind of building towards creating here. And so just to see all the interactions and collectors that are now have become friends from just coming in our store and meeting each other and new connections being made and new people getting excited about the hobby. It was just really, really cool to see. And, you know, people are already asking, when's the next one? When's the next one? And that's what you want. You know, we do our own trade nights and usually like 2 days later, it's like, when are you guys doing it again? It's like, damn, I'm still cleaning up the crumbs from Saturday night. Like, let me get my bearings. But, you know, we love that they love it that much that they just can't wait for the next one. And that's really what it's all about.
So I think about the importance of events in our hobby. You think about the tentpole events we have in our industry, like going to shows. You think about the auctions, the weekly auctions. And now you talk about like an event like that and bringing people in. Like that presents obviously exposure to you and your shop and, you know, gives you the opportunity as the owner to, you know, create an experience. It's great to have a bunch of people in your store that one time, like great momentum, a lot of excitement. You're probably selling product. Well, how do you think about getting those people back in your store, you know, on a random Tuesday? Like what types of things are you doing? How are you thinking about it?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things like one of the things we always try to do, get people to do is every time they come in is follow us on Instagram, you know, because if you want to know what's happening next, follow us on Instagram. So we really have a huge push on getting people onto our digital platforms. And one, just for anything, is like, that's where we break the news. That's where all the information is coming out. So when we have new product come in, new giveaways, new this, new that, we always broadcast it on Instagram. So we really try to draw people to our Instagram because that's where we connect and we create the sticky for the consumer. If you want to know when this next event like this, if you had a lot of fun today, this is when our next event's coming. If you want to be a part of this, this is when this is happening. So we'll have different giveaways. We have different promotions. We have different weekly specials. So we're always inventory. So whether it's singles, wax, whatever, we're always showing what we just got in. So we're always trying to, even if they're not at the shop, because we'll have some of our customers, they may be traveling, like, hey, I'm not going to be there this week. Can you put me that aside? Can you put me this aside? Can you ship me that? I can't get into the... So we're always trying to connect with our customers, even if they can't come into that shop that next day. We want them to feel like they're in the shop today so they know what's going on. So we try to create that sticky through that platform. And then just through just doing events, we try to do these events like every, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. And, you know, when one really exciting thing was one of our customers who has some venues outside of this, he came back in Monday. He's like, dude, that event was awesome. We're really trying to create community. He's like, would you consider doing your next one at our place? So they saw and saw the energy that was here on Saturday night, and they have a huge venue. It's like, I think we could do a, you know, between us and you, like, we can make something really big. So just seeing like how people are feeding off the energy of that event and wanting, like, whatever that was, we want it at our place. And that is, I think, where we're seeing like the fruit of our labor, and where we're really going to go on to touch more people in the greater area and even bring more enthusiasm and passion to the community for sports cards and sport card related type activities.
A couple quick hitters before we get out of here. I got to know, what products are performing well for you right now? What's hot?
Man, I reflect on this all the time right now, but just to see where football cards have come the past 3 to 4 years. I mean, they used to be a distant third. And now we can't even keep them in stock, man. I mean, I got to literally reorder football almost every week, because whatever we get in literally sells. We cannot keep football products in stock. During season, off season, it literally does not matter. Football is the king of the castle right now. We do a ton of baseball too. Topps has been very good with us as far as the allocation and the products they give us. And so we do a strong presence of baseball, and definitely with baseball season, you know, kicking in, spring fever is in the air. So baseball is definitely ratcheted up for us. So definitely football. The 2024 Topps has been, we had a release day of Topps. We had over 20 something cases. We were basically sold out by the end of the week.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So those are the types of things. Those data points, I think, are really important for us, the listeners, to understand what's happening. With kids, adults, when people are coming in, like, who are the athletes? Who are the cards? Like, who are people most interested in right now? Who's hot?
You know, because we're in the Southeast, the Braves are always a home run here. So Ronald Acuna, Ozzie Albies, Matt Olson, any of the big Braves guys, Spencer Strider. Otani's always, you know, he's a transcendent athlete, so he's always super hot. People love the new prospects coming on. So Jackson Holliday, you know, is a big one that's been super hot. Football, it's all about the quarterbacks, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Brock Purdy still hot. And then, you know, people are getting excited, I think, for the next year of prospects and the rookies. TJ Stroud has been extremely hot this year for us. Anthony Richardson, even despite the injuries, I think people are still very bullish about his on-field performance despite the injuries. So he's been incredibly hot. And then the GOATs, basketball-wise, still do well. I mean, we're in Wilmington, North Carolina. That is the home of Michael Jordan. So Jordan is always a hot item in this store. And then people just, I will say it, people love bargain boxes. So whatever we throw in the bargain boxes, you know, and our bargain boxes are cards from like $1 to $20 remain really hot. We have a great vintage customer base here. So vintage baseball is always extremely hot. Mickey Mantle, I don't know, the guy's the king, man. He's still Mickey Mantle cards. We sell a few Mickey Mantle cards almost every single week. It's incredible how that guy maintains.
I think you said Instagram, Instagram, Instagram. So I would imagine like sending people to Port City Sports Collectibles on Instagram would be a pretty good call to action for anyone who's interested in entering your hemisphere and figuring out what you're all doing. But if there's anything else you want to plug, like, let's make sure we do that.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely hit us up on Instagram. And I will say one thing we do try to pride ourselves in here is we want, and I think I learned this a lot from just watching the guys out in Burbank, is we go through, we buy, sell singles all the time. So I'm always refreshing the showcase because I never want people to walk in the store and be like, man, all they have is the exact same stuff they walked in here last time. So if you're ever looking to buy or sell, we buy a ton of cards. That's one of the things we pride on. I think we pay better than anybody locally. And it shows by the amount of walk-ins we get. We're always buying. So if you have stuff, we are a business, so we do have to make money. But if you have stuff and you're reasonable about your pricing, send us messages on Instagram. We are happy to take a look at it and buy it from you. But definitely go to Instagram. You'll see all our new products we get in store. If you have anything you want to sell us, take a look at us there. If you're interested in getting into our breaks, find us on TikTok, same name, Port City Sports Collectibles. You can also follow us on Facebook. We're on there. A lot of times that's just a copy of whatever we put on Instagram pushes over to Facebook, since the companies are connected. And then we also have a website. So if you ever want to order anything on our website, we have a ton of stuff on our website. We have sealed product. We have signed memorabilia. It's just www.portcitysportscollectibles.com. So we pretty much have a full array of digital platforms that you can connect with us on. So anyway, love to hear from you guys, whether it's feedback on the show, what you'd like to hear us talk about on the show, or if you just want to come on and say hello or check out some products we got, we'd love to see you and hear from you.
Looking forward to doing this again next month. Thank you, Jameson. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Brett. Appreciate it.
I'm really excited to dig in more from the hobby shop owner perspective. I think the way Jameson is approaching his business and servicing his customers to create that experience is really important. And I hope as we move forward with these episodes, we'll dig into more topics that you're interested about. Thank you so much for being a supporter of the Stacking Slabs podcast and platform. If you're learning or want more from me, check out the Patreon group. And if you're looking to buy into a break or buy a new box of cards, hit my man Jameson up at Port City Sports Collectibles. We'll talk to you soon.